Now that the song's over, I can start breathing again. I was telling Bobby backstage, do you got something going? Back there in the hallway, I said, man, I just know I'm going to blow it. I love that song with all my heart, but it's hard for a preacher to get through that song. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is coming.
Yes.
And that's exciting.
Yes.
That is exciting. I tell you, please don't get caught up in the world right now. Who cares who's president? I mean, I would love to have a godly man in the White House, but you're not going to see that, so don't worry about it. Godly men aren't wanted right now. Just hold on, enjoy America. The gas prices are terrible, so don't go to work so much. Amen? Works out good. I just want to let you know, and that's the thing, they're supposed to be going to 4-day work weeks. Amen. How do we get that to work out in a school, I'm trying to figure out? How do we get 4 days? All the kids are like, yeah, how do we do that? Figure we take Monday off or Friday off. Either way, you get a good weekend out of it. Or Wednesday, so the kids don't have any excuse for missing church. I'm just kidding. I'm joining PETA this afternoon. I just want to let you know that. I cannot wait to join PETA. People for the eating of tasty animals.
Amen.
The great thing about animals, they are so much fun to pet, but they are so much better to chew. Could you imagine? Think about this. I thought about this yesterday when I wrote that down. I said, hey, what would they have done back in the Old Testament days? PETA. When you got millions of people running animals up to these butchers for a sacrifice. Man, the Lord would have been well pleased with PETA in those days, wouldn't he? Good night. Animals are so good to eat. The title of the message today, and I'm so thankful I get a chance to preach. I hope preacher gets tired every week. Or worn out, whatever it is. I love preaching. I'm not going to apologize for that. I love standing here. I love preaching. I love getting into God's Word and trying to get something out of it. I just love the thought of this. This right here for a preacher is the vacation of his week. This isn't the work. This is the fun right here. This is where we get to have a good time. And I enjoy this kind of stuff. And I wanted to preach to you this morning the message called, I Can't Touch Bottom. Now, when I was a kid, swimming was something that didn't come to me right away. Many of you it did. But to me, I was more like the stone swimmer. They'd throw me in and I'd go right to the bottom. But after a while, my grandpa always told me, and I was real nervous, the deep end, boy, kids get excited. When we go to Florida, our kids get so excited now because they can finally, Natalie this last year learned how to swim, and I'm just kidding. And she loved the fact that she could go into the deep end, the end where you can't touch, because that's where all the excitement is. What's so exciting about the deep end? I could never figure that out, but I couldn't wait to be able to go down to the deep end. And my grandpa told me this statement. He said, I'm going to try to teach you how to swim, son. That's the same grandpa that popped me in the nose when I hit him in the jaw trying to teach me how to box. He's a grandpa that's a hands-on trainer, amen? He puts his hands on me and trains me. That's the way it worked out. And so we get to the swimming pool, and I said, Grandpa, I'm only 3.5 foot tall. I'm not going to be able to swim in 4 foot water. Grandpa, I can't do this. It's too deep. How in the world am I ever going to? And my grandpa kept telling me over and over again, listen to me. It doesn't matter how deep the water is, as long as you can swim. I got to thinking about that. It's kind of true. And so he tossed me in. After taking a few breaths full of water, he come in and helped me back up. And he taught me he tried to teach me how to dog paddle. I couldn't get it. So my Aunt Cindy taught me. I was taught to swim by a girl. And she finally drug me around the pool enough that I finally learned how to swim dog paddle. And you know what's funny is, you learn how to swim, and it's true what they say. The water doesn't matter how deep it is. If you can't touch bottom, as long as you can swim, you'll be okay until you get tired. And then it doesn't matter how good you can swim, you're going to sink again. But I want to talk to you, man. If you would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27 with me. Acts chapter 27, when you first go into the deep end, it's a scary thing. I don't care who you are. It's a scary thing when you can't touch bottom. Because you've got to have the trust in yourself enough to keep your head above water so you can get air. You've got to trust yourself enough that even if you do sink, you'll be able to push up off that bottom and you'll be able to sustain life by not drowning. And it's a scary, very scary thing to be in the deep end for the first few times. And it was very scary when I couldn't touch bottom. I want you to look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 10. Now, Paul was awesome. To go through as many things as Paul did is incredible. Paul messed up. Everybody does, no doubt about that. But understand this, Paul went through many things that you and I probably would never go through to serve the Lord. And Paul did those things because he knew that the person that he served was greater than anything else that was going around. Let me make that statement again. The person whom you serve, Jesus Christ, is greater than anything else that's going on right now. Let me make that statement one more time. The person whom you serve today, Jesus Christ, is greater than anything else that's going on. The reason I made that statement three times is because I want you to understand something, that no matter what you've got yourself into, no matter what you can't get yourself out of, Jesus Christ is greater than all of those things. Amen. He's greater. Paul gets himself into a mess here. And he's on this ship, and they're on their way. They're trying to get their way to go to Italy, and they don't get there by direct route, I guarantee you that. But I want you to listen with me for a few minutes. We're going to go kind of verse by verse for a little bit here. The Bible says in verse 10, let's all stand just quickly. Stand just quickly. I'll read this one verse, and we'll pray. Verse 10, Acts chapter 27 says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage..." I want you to see these things because all of these things matter. "I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach. Lord, thank you for calling me. One of the greatest things I have a hard time with is you calling me to preach, but I'm sure glad that you did. I love it with all my heart. Lord, always my prayer. Let me decrease today to nothing and let you increase to everything in this message. Everything. You've got to do it all. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Paul warns them. He says, "Sirs, this voyage will be with hurt and much damage." But look at verse 11. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Paul said things, but he didn't trust Paul. Paul was just going to be a passenger on the ship right now. Don't have time to go into why he was there, but understand this. Paul was on the ship, and they're trying to make their way to Italy, and they certainly don't make it the direct route, I guarantee you that. He tells them, there's going to be much hurt here. There's going to be much damage, not only to the ship, but also to our very bodies. Our lives are in danger on this ride. But look at verse 12. "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." That's the first time this, and the only time this is mentioned in the scripture, Euroclydon. "It's a great storm out of the east." It's a huge cyclonic major tempest of a storm. And they are in a ship. They're not in a battleship. They're not an aircraft carrier. They are in a wooden ship out on the Mediterranean Sea where it is absolutely storming, unbelievable. "But not long after there rose that tempestuous storm." Look at verse 15. "When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." We just let her go. There's nothing you could do. This storm was so bad, we just let the ship go where she wanted to go. "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven again. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when," listen to this, this is crazy here, "and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." How many lives, I wonder, are in this room right now? You haven't seen sun or stars for days. And your hope of being saved is gone. I've lived a lot of years, not as many as most of you. But let me tell you something right now. There's been days in my life where I didn't see the sun. There's days, and I'm a Christian. See, that's the thing. You get saved, and I want you to hear this, especially you that are relatively new to being Christians. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean the sun always shines. Matter of fact, when you're a Christian, the Lord uses his right to blind the sun as much as possible, it seems like. The Lord reserves the right to put us through things that, you know what? Sometimes we could go back to Egypt, amen? I wish I could go back to being a slave where they gave me fish guts and stuff to eat. I wish I could go back there because just being a Christian sometimes isn't that great. But understand this, it is great. It does have bad days where you're not going to see the sun. You're not going to see the stars. You're going to go through life. Oh, I would to God that you just take me home. Did you ever think for a minute you may be home right now? You may be exactly where you need to be. Going through exactly what you're going through to help the Lord further his kingdom. You wouldn't be any good if you never went through anything. Do you know that? You wouldn't be worth a hill of beans if you didn't go through anything. You know why Paul was so awesome in the scriptures? Because he went through many trials. He went through many hardships. And in the next few verses, you're going to see him make a statement. And when he makes a statement, people hear. Now, if you've got somebody that's coming up to you like Bill Gates saying, I've got financial difficulties. He's never lived paycheck to paycheck. Matter of fact, what was that statement, Freddie? Is he in here, Freddie? What was that statement? You know you're broke when you're paying September's bills with August's money in May. You are so far behind in life, and I'm so glad nobody else ever went through this. You are so far behind in life, there's no sun. There's no stars, and there's nothing worse in your life than financial difficulty. I don't care what anybody says. Amen. Nothing worse. If you want to see a man with drooped shoulders, give him some bills. Come on, say amen with that.
Amen.
See, I'm telling you right now, we put ourselves in spots where the sun don't shine. We put ourselves in spots where the stars just don't appear anymore. And understand this, although you might be going through something, and although some things may be happening to you, the reason I made the first statement is because Jesus is greater than all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe that today? Do you believe that Christ is bigger than your problems? Do you believe that Christ is greater than your temptations? Do you believe that today? Because see, Brother Timms, there's days I can't touch bottom. There's days my little head is just bobbing. Waves are going like this. And I'm bobbing. And I'm saying, please, God. And then you look around, there's no boats. There's no rafts. And I'm not a bird. My arms are getting tired. And I'm trying to stay above. Lord, please send something my way. And the Lord says, nope. You're going to bob just a little bit longer. Because if you bob just a little bit longer, I promise you, you'll be able to help somebody else that's drowning right now. I can't touch bottom. But that doesn't mean you can't swim. Let's go on. Verse 21. By the way, let's read verse 20 again. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. You should have listened to me. Look at the next verse, though. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You might say, well, good preaching, Paul. I find a little problem with that statement that Paul just made. Let me ask you a question. Did it not say, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me? Did not say that? Because we wouldn't have come to this harm and loss. What did God say? God said, lo, you must go before Caesar. You're going to go. No, Paul should have said, folks, we're going to be fine. Because the Lord said we're going to be fine. Not you should have hearkened unto me. The reason I say this is this. Paul is an awesome man. He is somebody that went through things that we could never imagine. Yet right here, in my opinion, he goes outside of what God said. No, you should have listened to me. No, hogwash. You listen to God. Because God said, we're all going to make it safe. God said, we're all going to make it to the other side. God said, hey, we may lose the ship. You're going to lose the ship, but everybody's going to be safe. Do you believe that God can take you safely across? No matter what. And I'll tell you, if you're warm, bless your hearts. Because I'm going to preach here in a minute. Preacher, you saw me with this on, right? There's no videotapes running, so we're good. I believe if you read that, I believe Paul messed up just a little bit. And tried to tell people, look at me. You should have listened to me. Now, I don't know that he meant to do that, but understand this. The reason I'm saying this, I want you to get this in your heads and in your hearts. You're not greater than God. Amen. You are not greater than God. I've had countless people, preacher, countless people tell me, I don't know why in the world the Lord put me in this. I don't know why in the world the Lord's making me go through these things. Because you're fighting. Because you were in a battle. I didn't remember. This is not a playground that we've been put on here. Yeah. You are going to fight some fights. And you know what? Sometimes you better be glad you're fighting. Yeah. Sometimes you better be glad you're in a test. Because if you're not in a test, guess what you're not doing? You're not fighting. Because I'm going to be honest with you. What's the Lord got to do with a person that doesn't care about fighting? What does the Lord care about a guy that gives up? What does the Lord care about a guy that's not willing to put his dukes up? I get so sick and tired of hearing about the pacifists that are out there. Bunch of sissies. You know what? They all ought to wear rainbows everywhere they go. You know what? You ought to be willing to fight. And I'm going to tell you right now, we were talking the other day, talking about real war. And please don't misread me. The war that these boys are in right now is a real war. Okay? But they didn't land on the beachhead at D-Day. And I'm not taking anything away from these boys. I saw pictures of Kenny's Hummer or whatever that thing was that he rode in. Shrapnel flying all throughout the car. Blood stains on all the seats. Kenny almost died. And that's real. I've never been through anything like that. God bless his heart. He wants to go back. That's a real man right there. Or crazy one. Maybe a little bit of both. This country was not won by diplomacy. Hear my words, fellas. This country was not won by sissified talking. This country was won because we shot people. That's just not politically correct. When did that definition change? Here's what's correct. It's right that we fought for our country. It's right that we won this country. It's right that we shot people to win this country. It's right that the people died for this country. It's right that we honor them. It sickens my heart to know that people came back from Vietnam and were spat upon for trying to give somebody freedom. It sickens me because they're fighting. It's not right to fight people. Understand this. When Jesus says, go take the promised land, he didn't say, go to the Anakims and ask them if it'd be okay.
Yeah, right.
Hi, fellas. We're the Israelites. Well, we'd like to come into this country. Would that be okay with you? The Lord said we could have it.
Well, let's sit down and talk. Ho, ho, ho. The grapes of Escol are very big. Good stuff over here. I think you should have some concessions towards us. Let's negotiate.
Was there any negotiations in the promised land? Lord says, no, go take it.
Yeah.
And when we came to this country, God bless the Native Americans. I don't know how in the world they put up with us. They should be uprising today. It was their country.
Yeah.
We came in, occupied this country. Now we're ashamed because we're fighting for her. What's the matter with people, man?
The Lord wouldn't have anybody ever fight. The Lord's so kind and gentle.
And he is. But he's also a consuming fire.
Yes.
And when his people are being mocked, This is good. You know what's funny? That's not even on my notes. When his people are being mocked, we're supposed to fight. Yeah. Earnestly, contend for the faith. Yeah. You don't contend by turning around and saying, I'm sorry. You know what? The King James Bible really isn't true. Because I really don't want to fight that fight. Come fight it. I'll fight you. The King James Bible is the only one we've got. Yeah. I love these people say, this is a pet peeve of mine. Please, if you say this, don't run out on me. This is not the King James Version. This is the King James Bible. Amen. A version means there's more than one. Amen. That's just a little pet peeve of mine. But understand this. This is the only Bible we've got. Yeah. It's part of our faith that we're supposed to fight for. And you know what? Today, preacher, I believe that Christianity can't touch bottom. Right. We can't touch bottom. We've been bobbing our heads with just barely above the water for a very, very long time. And for a very, very long time, we've stayed in this ship, riding this ship out. And you know what's sad is we may be tossed with the wind. We may be tossed with the boisterous Euroclidean storm that's coming. But understand this. If we would just fight, the Lord would bring us through. But the fighting has stopped because it's not politically correct to fight. And I'm telling you right now, the thing that's damaging us more than anything else is our tolerance, our indifference, our lukewarmness, because you don't want to offend anybody. I've got news for you. Your Savior offended a lot of people. And if we're supposed to be Christ-like, people will get offended along the way. But you've still got to stand and fight. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Amen. How many can say that today? I mean, and I don't want you to raise your hand. How many can say honestly that you believe God? You believe God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of things in your life that I don't think you have faith in, amen. And there's a lot of things in my life. You know what? Sometimes, Lord, I just don't see how you're going to do this. Do you believe God? Paul stands up and makes a very bold statement. We're all going to be fine. I believe God. And I said to myself, man, how in the world are we going to find the money? There's nobody in here that's a millionaire. Is there? Because if there is, I'd like to have dinner with you next week. How in the world are we going to get the money? And you know what's funny? We look automatically, our eyes open and say, what can we do to generate that kind of money? And I came to myself, I can't even generate $10. Why am I going to try to generate $1 million? Do you believe God can? When I ask you, when I ask you, do you believe God can? Let me ask you this question. And the reason I bring this up, and I'll leave this quickly, I promise you. You amen that God can. Do you believe that God will? If you believe that God will, are you excited about the outcome? Because if you're not excited about the outcome, you don't believe God will. Think with me now. If you're not excited about being over in that building, I just want to stay here in this little tuna can we've got over here in this little building. This is a nice building. Please don't misread me. But understand this, you're hot today because we got a lot of people in here.
That's right.
Do you believe God will raise that money?
Yes.
If you believe that, then you ought to get excited about what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get excited about it, how in the world can you believe that? Let me tell you something. If you believe that Publishers Clearing House was coming to your house, you would be sitting at the kitchen like this. Ding dong. Woo! Hello, come on in. Oh, you don't have any balloons. Get out of here. What were they, honey? Jehovah's Witnesses. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone just a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. I want to draw your attention to verse 28 here. Sonar, it's just a side note. Sonar was developed in 1917, except in the King James Bible, where it was 1611 or so, or past then even. Do you see what they're using here? You know what a fathom is? Anybody know what a fathom is? I'd look it up. I didn't know. I'm not near that smart. Any Navy guys in here? Squid, back there, Brother Carl. He's too close to me. I'd never call him that. Brother Carl, what's a fathom? Do you know? I had to look it up too. I'm glad. I had to look it up too. Good. A fathom. Do you know what it is?
How many?
How many? How many feet? Close. 6.03 feet. I had to look that up. That's good. Six, or an arm span is what they called it back in those days. They sounded, and they found it to be 20 fathoms. Is that what that says? 20 fathoms. 20 times 6 is what? 120. Very good. Got some smart people in here. 120 feet to the bottom. Do you know what that was? That was sonar. They sounded, and it came back to them. Sonar. Wasn't that cool? Amen. I thought that was great. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. If you cast four anchors out of the stern, I'm not a Navy man. It seems to me like you're worried about moving. That's why you cast that many anchors. And this is a big ship, by the way. Don't think this is a little boat. This is a big ship. It's carrying 276 souls in it. Okay? This is a big ship. And it's carrying a lot of stuff with it. They lighten the ship three or four times. I know that this is a big ship. And so if they're worried at 120 feet and it goes later on to 15 fathoms, which is how much? 90 feet, right? So it goes down to 90 feet. Okay? And so they're worried at 90 feet that they're going to run up on rocks at 90 feet. So that must have been a big ship. Just a thought. Okay? So they're worried that the ship is going to go off. So they anchor themselves, and look what happens. Then fearing lest we should fall upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, wish for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now listen to me. This is good stuff right here. They're going to jump ship. It's too stormy outside. So they're going to get in a dinghy? What's the matter with people? Hey, it's boisterous out here, so we're going to go to a little bitty church. It's tempestuous inside this building. We're going to jump ship. You know this is where the truth is preached. Why would you ever want to leave? I got news for you. I'm not for anybody leaving unless they're going up in the ministry. Amen. Hear my words. Oh, I've got a bigger paycheck coming over there. I'm not against money. I'd love to have some someday. But understand this. I don't like people just leaving the church because all they're after is a bigger salary. Well, you just don't live in this day and age. I asked you earlier, do you believe God? Because if you believe God, God can take care of you even in this economy. It's crazy. Gas is expensive. But God can take care of us. God will take care of you. You may not be able to make so many runs down to the video store, Brother Mark. You may not be able to make so many runs down to the liquor store, Brother Bob. Just kidding, he's a deacon. He only does that once a month. So, if we believe God can for the big things, it's amazing. We believe him for our eternal souls. We say this all the time. But we can't believe him that he'll put food on our table. It's amazing. God is amazing. We will wait for death with bated breath. So we can make sure that we go to heaven. We'll ask Christ to come in. I got a chance to lead somebody at the hospital of the Lord about a week ago. I was so excited about that. I love seeing people get saved because they think they're scared. Oh, man, I'm about to die. Give me a preacher. Live like the devil their whole life. Then give me a preacher right at the end. I don't have a problem with that. Hey, I want to win anybody to Christ at any time. I don't care how old they are, where they're at. But understand this, I would to God, I'd start believing in him now, right now, today. That way I don't have to worry about it later on. I've got my eternity already settled. I'm not going to worry about that because he's going to take care of me no matter what. And I'm telling you, there's times when my boat is rocking, brother. There's times when I feel like I'm about to capsize. There's times when the waves are just coming up over top. There's times when I can't bilge out, I can't pump out, I can't bail out quick enough. But God didn't say I wasn't going to have trouble. God didn't say I wasn't going to go through things. God says he's just going to bring me to the other side. Yeah. Would to God you'd believe that today. The harder I preach, the more fans go. You know, if you would all wave one way and you would all wave the other way, it'd get a nice circulation going. Paul said to the centurion, his soldier, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. We can't go forward without everyone that's in this room. Amen. Hear me when I say that. Yeah. We can't go forward without everyone. If you bail out, we can't go forward. Right. If you bail out, you dirty, rotten scallywag. Right. It's a ship term, I think. Scallywag. How many have heard that lately? Yo, scallywag. Arr. You jump out of the ship, how in the world can we get over to the other side? You're sick of the storm. Yeah, me too. I'm sick of not moving. Man, I'm telling you right now, I've thought and prayed over and over and over. God, why in the world can't we move yet? With mad face. And he looks down at me, you little insect. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, would to God we could do it now. Yes. But it's in God's own time. And nobody's got to. What's funny is everybody tends to point fingers in the storm. It's your fault, rudder man. It's your fault, sail guy. It's your fault, chart master. It's your fault, preacher, that we aren't moved. Yeah. Bet it got quiet quick. Fans all stopped. We must have hit the button on that one. Yeah. He's not directing our ship correctly. If I was in charge, woohoo! If I was in charge, this ship would have never come anywhere near the shore. If I was in charge, we'd already be out there. If I was in charge, everything would be perfect. That's why you're there. And he's there. See, what happens is this. We get out of God's way and into our way because we think we've got a better idea. 10 months ago, I would have told Dad, hey, let's get the money now. I don't care if we've got to tackle Ed McMahon and steal the check. Let's go. I think I can catch Ed. Let's go get it now. And things kept coming. And let me tell you something. He was right with it. He, let's go get it. And I think if somebody would have dropped the money off and said, hey, here, sign, we'd probably done it. But the Lord kept shutting doors. The Lord kept steering us in a way, and there's nothing we're so stupid we didn't recognize it, but let me tell you something. The Lord was steering us in a way that we should go, and I'm going to tell you right now, he was not going to be satisfied with staying at Crete.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's good.
Paul said, you should have listened to me, and you should have stayed. Hogwash! God said, go!
Yeah.
But it's his time, not yours. Do you believe God today? I can't touch bottom. I have no idea when we're going to get out to that church property. None. No idea. Love to tell you I could. People ask me, when are you going to build? When are you going to build? If I had a dime for every time I was asked that question, we'd be built. I don't know, but I do know that the Lord wants us to wait on him and be patient and be happy and content with what God does. That way, when we go back, preacher, we can't say it was Pastor Skyver that got it done. We can't say it was Bob Schell that got it done. We can't say it's Ed Wilson that got it done. We can't say it's Mike Porter that got it done. All we can say is that God did it.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
We look up and say, hey, God Memorial Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember anybody else helping you. I'm going to tell you right now, we are living in a day and age where it's so tempestuous, so stormy. But understand this, God promised he will take you to the other side.
Yep. Yep.
So then they decide we're going to jump in a lifeboat and get out of the big ship and row for it. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Well, that seems dumb. You're getting in the lifeboat. Get out of the lifeboat. God said, if you don't get out of the lifeboat, we're all going to die. Get out of the lifeboat. Matter of fact, kink. What are you doing? That's the lifeboat. Hence the name, life. And the boat goes down, splash, and it's quickly going away. And the people are saying, and I guarantee you, in your mind, you're thinking, my little nest egg. The gas price at $4 a gallon. There goes my little nest egg. I never even had a nest. The necessity of a savings account doesn't exist. I love, we have $3.32 in it. Why? Because I don't have 33 cents. They cut their life, but listen to me. Hey, you don't, I don't understand it. How in the world this economy's going down? But God's still God. Here's the funny thing. They walked through the wilderness. What did they have with them? Not much. What they could carry. Their clothes. They didn't even have a change of clothes, obviously, because God had to keep those clothes good all the time. Well, God can't keep my clothes good. Women would pass out. As soon as the color fades, just one shade. Oh, this dress is done. Shoes. How many ladies in here have one pair of shoes? Liar. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day and age where we have to have everything fast. What happens if God takes that away from us? What happens if the Lord shuts our electricity off? I love that. What works without electricity? I just want you to think for a ponder that. Your stove doesn't even ignite hardly anymore without electric. How would you light a candle? I don't know. I got no power. Do we even have candles? Yeah. Flashlight works for 30 minutes. Oh. If it works for 30, and you're sitting there going. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread. Now listen to this. The lifeboat's been cut. They got nothing left. They are now depending fully on what Paul said. And Paul said, I believe God. Do you believe God? Therefore, I pray you to take some meat. Hey, you might as well eat. If things are going bad, might as well eat. These are Baptist people. Amen. Things are going bad, but we're still fat.
Amen.
For this is your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Man, that would be cool. That's a Rogaine commercial right there. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat, remembering God. And when they were, and then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea. They just said, God, whatever direction you take us, that's the way we'll go. The rudder bands have been loosed. I no longer desire to steer. Please listen to me. Are you willing to let loose of the rudder?
Yeah, that's where it works.
Are you willing to say, I don't know which way the wind's blowing, but whatever it is, I'm going to let God use the wind. Because I obviously can't steer too good. Think about that for a minute. In my life, I have not been able to steer very well. When I've decided to grab the wheel, say, Lord, I got it. It seems like I head for wrecks every time. But you know, when God takes the wheel and you back off, it may be scary. I just don't know if I can handle this. It's so scary to do this. It may be scary. But God knows where you're going to go.
Yeah.
And God has control of that.
Yeah.
And he promised you that no harm would come. He promised you that the ship may break along the way. You may be missing your ship at the end, but you will come safely. You may lose it all, but you'll still be safe. Safe in Jesus Christ. What's better than, do you believe God today? Man, I can't touch bottom, brother. That's okay. Do you believe God? When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted the mainsail into the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. That's scary. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. We made it this far. Let's shoot people. You don't agree with us? Hey, the prisoners may escape. Let's kill them. The Lord said everybody's going to come alive, but we'll kill these guys. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, who was one of the prisoners, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Now, I don't know how close they were to the shore here, but I'm promising you, now listen to me, I want you to listen to me and I'm all done. I don't know how close they are to the shore. I don't know how close we are to the shore. I don't know how close we are to the building. I don't have any idea. But understand this, the back part of the ship was beaten to death. The back part of the ship was broken into pieces. Amen. Do you see that? The back part of the ship being broken into pieces, I'm sure that at the front part of the ship, the waves were probably pretty bad there too. If the waves at the back of the ship are bad enough to break the ship, I'm sure the waves in the front of the ship are probably bad too. And he's telling them, you dive in, you which can swim. Right. Right. If it's, man, if this ship, which was big enough to worry about 120 foot of depth of water, it was big enough to worry about that. Amen. Is what it said. 90 feet. They set anchor lest they run upon the rocks at 90 feet. That's deep, brother. And they're worried about the depth there. They get run aground finally. The water could be 40 foot deep right there. You could have a mile to swim in the waves which are busting the ship up. But the Lord said, I will bring you safe. The Lord said, I know it doesn't look like it's going to be easy. I know that you feel like you might die. I know that you feel like you probably won't make it. But I swear to you, you are going to make it. Amen. And they dove in. Woo! Not everybody can swim. Lord knew not everybody could swim. You may not be a good swimmer. So the Lord has a board for you. Yeah. Amen. The Lord cast a board into the water for people that couldn't swim. They jumped on top. And if everybody had an ocean, across the USA all the way into the shore. But some of you couldn't find a board. Man, in this day, I know the Lord's trying to take care of me, but I just can't seem to see it. I just can't seem to understand. I don't know. And everybody that's floating by me has something. Boy, that guy has a board, and boy, that guy's a real strong swimmer. I don't know what there's left. That's why he broke the back of the ship up. He brought waves in to bust up the back of the ship so that piece of broken ship could float by. It's not a board, mind you, and you're not a good swimmer, but that piece of broken ship will take you safely to the other side. You may say, well, Bethel Baptist Church is nothing but a broken ship. Glory to God, we may be a broken ship, but our pieces will take you to the other side. Yeah. We may be all falling apart here. Everything's not right. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's not one church in this whole wide world that's all right. Amen. But glory to God, you stay with this ship, brother. You stay with this ship, sister. I promise you, the Lord God said, I will take you to the other side. Yeah. The economy is too great. There's no way we'll get the money. You're right. But God will.
Amen.
Preacher, I don't know where you're at, but we can't touch bottom. We can't touch bottom. As a church, we're just floating. Oh, man, we died. Scariest times ever. All around us, storms are happening. All around us, the impossibilities of making it safe just seem imminent. That was a lot of 3- and 4-syllable words you heard right there. That is what you call vocabulary at its best. It's bad out there. But you know what? We're not supposed to worry about the bad. We're not supposed to worry about this being an abomination. I love that. That is so great. You know what you've got to worry about? Nothing worldly. How are we going to build the building, preacher? Just going to have God do it.
Amen.
You say you wanted to build a $300,000 building. Where's the $300,000? We can't afford $300,000. How are we going to do a million? We're not. We're sinking. We're sinking. How are we going to make it?
Amen.
Lord said you wouldn't sink.
Amen.
Lord said you're going to make it.
Amen.
He told Paul, you're going to make it. And everybody that's with you is going to make it. The Lord stands in front of this congregation today, say, not me, saying, you're going to make it, Bethel. You're going to make it over there, but you're going to have to trust me. The preacher says, we're not taken out alone. When did God ever need your help? Some of you can swim. Some of you are going to need a board. And some of you are going to grab a hold of a broken piece of ship. But understand this. None of you will be able to touch bottom. It may be scary. But the Lord will take us through.
Amen.
And it's not just about this church. It's about your life.
Yes.
You may not be able to swim today, but God's got a board for you.
Yeah.
You may not be able to find the board, but he's got a broken piece of ship there.
Yeah.
And you'll find it. He'll get it to you. He'll provide. What a great God we serve. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity it was to preach this morning. Lord, please be with us today. Lord, I thank you so much for promising us that we're going to succeed for you, what you'd have us to do, your endeavor. And it may not make sense to us, like cutting away the lifeboat just doesn't make sense. But Lord, they didn't need the lifeboat to live. All they needed was you. And Lord, it may have been great when they finally went to go to shore. It may have been great to have the lifeboat there that some of them could have ridden into shore. But I got news for you. Everybody had to be in the water. And nobody was able to touch bottom. But everybody made it safe and escaped to the shore, even without the lifeboat. Lord, I thank you for the promise that you gave them, and I thank you for the promise that you give us, that we will make it as long as we keep our eyes on you and let you drive. You're not my co-pilot, God. You're the pilot. I'm way back in coach. And most of the time, I'm in the little lavatory trying to go to the bathroom. I'm so scared. But Lord, I know that you're going to take me through. So Lord, help us today to put more faith in you, more belief in you, more hope in you. Take the hope out of our hands and put it into your hands. Lord, please, take care of us today. Continue to take care of us and never let us go. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, I got to go back and baptize.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder today. You'll never sink with the Lord. By the way, there's people today sinking down straight to hell without Christ because they never got saved. Sinking to the depths. If you're today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd like you to come and ask Christ to save you today. He'll do it. Christian, have faith. He'll get you to the other side. I know the tempest of the storm seems real bad sometimes. But I'll tell you, he can do it. He can do it. Amen. I wonder if their heads.